Welcome to Section 420, Talking Yankees, the podcast. Well, you thought you got rid of me for 2020, back for one more installment. Not really big news, but I guess the Yankees have decided to officially part ways with Lucas Lutke. So we can kind of get into my that deal and my thoughts on it. But before we do, make sure you subscribe. You know, the year is going to run out soon. So you want to start a New Year's resolution, you want to start by subscribing to the Section 420 Talking Yankees podcast. So wherever you're listening to this, make sure you hit a like or subscribe button and they get notified when new episodes come up. And again, we're going to keep rolling this along as we go through the winters. I'm sure, you know, the Yankees will probably pull a few more moves like this one, maybe a trade. There'll be stuff to analyze. And of course, before you know it, pitches and catches will be reporting to spring training in February. So, I mentioned in the last episode, the Yankees put Lucas Lutke, they designated him for assignment. Now, my indication, or at least the way I felt that it wasn't officially a goodbye for him. Turns out I was wrong on that one. So, okay, it could be wrong once in a while. It just seemed like it was more of a formality roster spot move, and at some point they're going to bring him back with something to some way, somehow. Maybe it would have been part of some sort of trade they were going to pull off first, and then once kind of everything got ironed out, then they would have brought him back on some sort of, you know, minor league deal or something like that. But nevertheless, looks like the assignment they put him on waiver wires there, whatever, and they officially worked out a trade with the Atlanta Braves. So sending Lucas Lutke to Atlanta, 4-2 prospects, one Indigo Diaz, which seems to be really what the trade was for. And of course, another gentleman by the name of Caleb Durbin, a 22-year-old infield prospect. And if you just look at his stats, there's nothing really that really catches your eye. I guess the only thing about him is this, he could play multiple infield positions, shortstop, second base, third base. But other than that, there's nothing about his stats that you're really wowed with. So it seems like Indigo Diaz was kind of the prize in this trade there. Again, just a double A. A reliever for them. Again, nothing that jumps off the page, but I guess that's probably the reason they figured maybe in terms of age. I mean, Lutke is 35, so he kind of, you know, moving some age off the team, and you're bringing in someone like Diaz, who, again, he's probably not gonna make the majors next year, but at least he's only 24 years old, and you know, the other guy is 22. So just bringing in some youth, bringing a couple of prospects, and the Yankee scouts or Cashman saw something in these guys and figure, all right, you know, this for Lutke. I mean, I don't think the Yankees really. I kind of understand why they designated for him assignment. I mean, or we're looking to make a move with him. I mean, he had really came off a really good season for the Yankees. Really, the past two seasons have been good, but even last season, 2022, an ERA of 2.67, logged about 57 innings, and 60 strikeouts in 57 innings. So, yeah, this is an impressive stat. So, if you want to look at trade value, okay, this is probably as high as trade value you're going to get for Lucas Lutke. Plus, he's 35 years old, so even though he's putting up good stats, teams are going to be worried about his age a little bit. So I guess the timing of it, if you were going to, again, make a move with him, this would have been time to do it. Now, contract-wise, and again, Lutke, kind of a weird career, kind of a bit of a late bloomer, and also, you know, dealt with some injury issues. So, I mean, he's still arbitration eligible through 2024. So, I mean, if the Yankees wanted to, they could have kept him for next year in 23 as well as 24. But again, at 35 years old, you know how relievers are. One year they're good, next year they're not good. So they're kind of up and down a little bit. So you figure, all right, you know what? We got him on an upswing. This is probably as high as his value will be. Let's see what we can get for him. And so I guess that's why Cashman decided to pull this move for him. So I guess now he goes down to Atlanta and deals with the NL East there. And for the Yankees, you know, they always get somebody for free agency or trades like that. But again, they are kind of void of left-handers. I mean, just look at all they got right now going for them is Wandy Peralta. And that's really it. So I'm sure the Yankees will, whether they might bring up somebody, I mean, out of the bullpen, obviously. We all know they have Rondon and Nestor Cortez, of course. But I just mean out of the bullpen there. The Yankees are very, very, very right-handed heavy. So they're probably going to, you know, do something that's bringing some more lefties in here. I know someone like Loizaga, who kind of has the off-speed stuff, and as well as Tommy Canley. I mean, they're also effective against lefties as well. But so you need left-handers in there. And, of course, Chapman's gone. He's never coming back in Britain. And obviously, his contract was done last season. And I don't see the Yankees entertaining bringing him back just to – you know, I think he was okay with the Yankees, but, you know, last year hurt, came back from Tommy John, but, you know, just wasn't effective and didn't even make the postseason roster. So I don't see any situation where Britain comes back, but hey, maybe they proved me wrong. So the Yankees are going to have to do something to get some left-handers in here. And for Lutke, again, serviceable Yankee there, kind of tippy cap, good job. But I guess, you know, just Cashman wanted to bring in some prospects for him because that's probably as high as trade value is going to be. And again, it is an attractive contract for another team because, again, he's not a free agent until 2025, so he's under control. So a team would find that, even though he's 35, would find that appetizing to take. And then, nevertheless, that's probably why the deal got done. So that's what that with Lucky. As for the whole Carlos Correa fiasco, that's still ongoing now. Seems again the Mets have held up the deal, just seeing they looked at the x-rays on his ankle, and I guess the same reason that San Francisco Giants decided to pull out of the deal. It seems like now the Mets are doing the same thing, and now it looks like, you know, at least what you hear in Correa does want to back down from the deal. Again, he was offered 12 years by the Mets and for a certain amount of money. It seems like he doesn't want to take anything less than 12 years, so he's probably going to have to. So right now it's kind of mum, the word. It seems like Stevie Cohen still wants to bring him in here and still wants to just kind of, you know, have a wow type of roster, so, which it is. You know, you got Pete Alonso, McNeil, Francis Lindor, him, brought back Miranda Nimmo. So, you know, putting Correa in there, you know, definitely makes it a fierce lineup, even if you're worried about his ankle a little bit long term. But nevertheless, right now, no official word. I kind of have a feeling the deal is going to get done at some point. It's a lot of money for Correa to want to turn down. And could he be fielding other offers? Possibly. But it seems like every team is going to have the same issue with this ankle. So, and it seems Cohen's okay with it, just up to a certain amount of years. So, again, my prediction is that they will get it done, but maybe they just trim it down to about 8 or 9 years, and then that gets finalized. But if I'm the Mets, you know, even though it's to say if they want to walk from the deal, I don't think it's a big loss. Again, Correa is a very good player, but I don't see him as like, I don't think he's like a game-changing type player. For example, like when the, you know, a couple of seasons ago, when the Phillies signed, you know, Bryce Harper, you know, that's the type of player that changes a franchise, or an Ohtani, or even Judge with the Yankees. Correa is more like a co-pilot, a co-captain. He's not like really a foundation type of guy you build around in that regard. So let's just say they decided to part ways with him. Yeah, of course you like him in the lineup. I don't think it's a huge loss for the Mets. I just think, you know, he's not that type of player that you go all in for. So I'm surprised he's gotten the 12-year offer that he did. But nevertheless, you know, so even if he ended up walking for the Mets, I don't think it's terrible for them. But we'll see how it goes. But most likely he'll stay on with the Mets. So Lucky, goodbye. And then Carlos Correa, we don't know yet, but probably will stay with the Mets. So a little quick episode. Again, make sure you have a happy new year. I'm not sure if it'll be any episodes left in 2022. Best way I said last time, and I went against that. So you never know. Catch you next time.